back to Yahoo Finance. COVID cases are continuing to rise, raising questions about how it will weigh on the return to school as students across the country wrap up the summer break. Dr. Lena Wen joins us as part of our series looking at the state of education as Americans get ready to head back to the classroom. She's also the author of Lifelines, A Doctor's Journey in the Fight for Public Health. Yahoo Finance's Anjali Kemlani also joins us for this conversation. And Dr. Wen, just so many questions to begin with here, but obviously a lot of these parents worrying about how the spread of the Delta variant may be affecting their kids as they get their backpacks ready for school. I guess just a baseline here, what is the risk as schools reopen and these kids who may not be vaccinated in most cases are possibly at risk of spreading it?
Well, first of all, great to join you today. I think it's important for us to level set and say that two things can be true at the same time. One is that it's really critical for us to get our kids back for in-person learning full time. And the second is that there is a way for us to do that safely. That said, there are also ways for us to do this unsafely, as in we know that the Delta variant is so contagious, it spreads so easily from person to person, especially among the unvaccinated. And there is definitely a risk if you have a lot of people who are unvaccinated together in an enclosed classroom for many hours a day, of course, you're going to have the risk of spread. But there are ways to prevent that from happening and to substantially reduce that risk. By this point, we know what works, and that's a combination of indoor mask wearing. It's a combination of having as many people as can be vaccinated to do so, improving ventilation, regular testing. All these are things that can and should be done. And the CDC guidance actually here is really important and very clear that it is important and we can get our kids back for in-person learning safely, but as long as we follow these mitigation measures.
Dr. Wen, Anjali here. Really great to have you back. I know that a lot of discussion has been happening about, you know, what the CDC has been saying, the guidelines have been coming out, and the state-level differences. Looking at a map, you can see just how differently this strain of the virus is affecting different states. So is there something to be said about, you know, with your experience as a public health commissioner, something that the CDC could be doing differently in order to help, you know, make the messaging maybe more straightforward while also balancing the various needs of different areas?
I think it's very challenging. And you mentioned earlier my book, Lifelines. I was the health commissioner for the city of Baltimore. I oversaw school health in Baltimore for every one of our 180 or so public schools. It is really hard. Look, I think we need to start talking about COVID-19 and the vaccine the same way that we talk about other routine childhood immunizations. At the start of school in Baltimore, every single year, there are hundreds, if not thousands of families that have not met all the vaccination requirements. They're not anti-vaxxers. They're just families that, for example, have had other priorities. They didn't get around to this. There were other things that were really important. They're not anti-vaccine, but they needed that additional push in order to get vaccinated. This is where I think mandates are really helpful. Now, I'm not saying that we need school mandates for vaccines for kids at this point, especially since kids 12 and older or 12 and younger are not yet eligible to get the vaccine. Or 12 and older, you're eligible, but 11 and younger, you're not. But I do think that there are requirements that are needed at this point. And it really is unconscionable when we have governors at this point who are saying that they're not even allowing parents to have the tools necessary to protect their own children.
That's right, Doctor. And you're particularly talking about Florida and Texas, especially come to mind right now. Florida saying that they're not going to require students to wear a mask. Texas saying that they're not required, schools not required to do any contact tracing. And if you are in close contact with someone who's tested positive for coronavirus, you can still send your child to school. So I want to ask you about that vaccine mandate. Where does that bar really lie for you then? When we should start saying, you know what, schools actually do need to start mandating that their children be vaccinated against coronavirus. I mean, parents are not new to having these vaccine mandates for other diseases and for other things. And especially once that vaccine is available for children 12 and under, do we need to really start thinking about mandating vaccines for all children that are going to schools?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we need to start with vaccine requirements for healthcare workers, for individuals working in nursing homes. And we are now seeing more and more companies implement vaccine requirements because that's in the best interest of their workers and their families and their customers as well. I think we need to normalize this for adults, and where we have now been giving these vaccines to hundreds of millions of people around the world. We know that they are safe and effective. And then I think also that in schools, we should start at least implementing a testing requirement. For example, we can say that everyone needs to be tested at least once a week. But if you are vaccinated, if you're a teacher or a student that's vaccinated, you can opt out of that testing requirement. That's another very important push so that we are making vaccination the easy and convenient choice. And in the meantime, testing is also a layer of protection that's really important to help to keep these schools safe too.
Dr. Wen, in your book, you talk about basically your origin story and, you know, coming from an immigrant family and your experience with public health and with public assistance. I want to ask you, just looking back so far, what we've done and how the U.S. has dealt with the pandemic, what would you say is maybe a misstep or something that we still haven't yet hit on when it comes to looking at the most vulnerable of our population?
I'm glad you mentioned the most vulnerable, because COVID-19 has certainly unmasked underlying health disparities. We've seen that it's not the virus that's discriminating, as in when we see unequal outcomes among Black Americans, Latino Americans, Native Americans compared to whites, when we see that people with low income are disproportionately affected by COVID. It's not that the virus is specifically targeting these groups. It's that our systems are unequal. We've also seen that unless we specifically address disparities, they're going to worsen. And so going forward, we need to do even more when it comes to vaccinations, testing, making sure that we're protecting those who are the most vulnerable. And I think another lesson coming out of all of this is how much it hurts our overall response when something that's as basic as mask wearing or vaccines become politicized. And I really worry about public health moving forward, because we've seen now some state legislatures even limit the ability of health departments to respond in the future. As in, if there are tuberculosis outbreaks or measles outbreaks, the public health powers of local health departments and state health departments are even more limited than before. So I really worry about the politicizing of public health and what this means for the ability of health departments to protect the people that they serve.
All right. Dr. Lena Nguyen, the public health professor at George Washington University and also the author of Lifelines, A Doctor's Journey in the Fight for Public Health. Thanks again for stopping by. Also, thank you to Yahoo Finance's Anjali Kamani for stopping by as well.